This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico. More than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A crucial call later today between the U.S. and Russia and the sanctions that could hang in the balance. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Tens of thousands of Russian troops are believed to be near Ukraine's borders, and a large part of the recent buildup is in Crimea, which Russia annexed from Ukraine in 2014. President Joe Biden and the leaders of Britain, France, Germany, and Italy have called on Russia to de-escalate tensions over Ukraine. Last night, Western leaders discussed their, quote, shared concern about the Russian military buildup. And today, President Biden will speak with Russian President Vladimir Putin about the situation. Moscow says it has no plans to attack Ukraine, and it's accused Western nations of provocation. The White House said the U.S. and its European allies, though, have agreed a joint strategy to impose significant and severe harm on the Russian economy should Russia launch an invasion. Tim Ash, economist at Blue Bay Asset Management, explains what options could be on the table.
For the last 7 years since Crimea, the West's been rolling out various different sanctions iterations. So there's a set of gears that they know they can go through. So the extreme range, basically cutting off Russia from the global system of international transactions. And that's viewed as the nuclear option because it would really, really disrupt Russian trade. The fact that that would disrupt energy exports, which Europe is dependent on, means it seems unlikely to be the first move if Russia does go in an all-out war in Ukraine. And then there's further down the list, there's oligarch designations. Those people could be designated for being close to Putin. Various state-owned companies in Russia could be further sanctioned, further restrictions on their trade and ability to finance themselves in international markets. And then there are things like tightening the existing restrictions on Russia's government's ability to borrow in international markets.
So you say if they don't go for that nuclear option, then how effective are other sanctions options really likely to be?
These oligarch designations, remember, oligarchs own some of Russia's big blue chip companies. So, you know, if they go down the oligarch designation route, I mean, it would also have pretty big impact on some of Russia's largest companies, presumably. They have mentioned also imposing restrictions on transactions from ruble into FX. That could impact on the ability of Russian local markets to pay dividends and interest on stocks and bonds, for example. So that would be detrimental to holders of those securities, and that could have some pressure on the ruble as well. I think it's important to remember that the way the West has rolled out sanctions, it's always been about, probably more important about signaling. You know, what could happen if Russia behaves badly or continues to behave badly, and there's more coming? The concern of the West is always to minimize the blowback, the backdraft damage to Western business and economies. They want to maximize the damage to Putin and the guys closest and companies closest to Putin, while at the same time minimizing the damage to Western business interests.
So really, how high stakes is this call?
It's probably more important for Ukraine. You know, Ukraine is facing a major war. A defining war, perhaps, between in terms of the relationship between Russia and Ukraine, with a lot of casualties. I mean, and this is probably a defining war for Europe as well. You know, it will set the future course of NATO. You know, Western security is dependent on what happens at this summit.
Tim Ash at Blue Bay Asset Management. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Checking financial markets now. Geopolitics aside, global stock benchmarks are notching solid gains as investors' concern about the Omicron coronavirus variant subside. Hong Kong's Hang Seng rallied from a 14-month low hit yesterday. It closed 2.7% higher today amid a broad rise across Asia. Here in Europe, it's a similar story. Benchmarks in London, Paris, and Frankfurt are up in the wide range of 1.1 to 2.1%, led mostly by gains in the tech sector. Dozens of Rohingya refugees here in the UK and in the US have filed a lawsuit against Facebook, accusing it of allowing hate speech against them to spread on the platform. They're asking for more than $150 billion in compensation. And for context, Facebook generated $29 billion in revenue during the third quarter. The BBC's Jonathan Fruin has more on that story.
During a 2017 military crackdown in Buddhist-majority Myanmar, an estimated 10,000 Rohingya Muslims were killed. Now, refugees say Facebook allowed the dissemination of hateful and dangerous misinformation to continue for years. A British law firm representing some of the refugees has written a letter to the social giant alleging the company failed to invest in moderators and fact-checkers, take down posts or accounts inciting violence, or take timely action despite warnings from charities and the media. Lawyers in the US also filed a legal complaint against Facebook, accusing it of being, quote, willing to trade the lives of the Rohingya people for better market penetration in a small country in Southeast Asia. Facebook, now called Meta, did not immediately respond to the allegations. The company has more than 20 million users in Myanmar, and for many people there, the social network is the only way of getting and sharing news. In 2018, Facebook said it did not do enough to prevent incitement of violence and hate speech against Rohingya. I'm the BBC's Jonathan Fruin for Marketplace.
Did you hear about the boss who fired 900 employees on Zoom? The chief executive of mortgage firm Better.com invited 15% of his staff to the online conference call and announced, "If you're on this call, you're part of the unlucky group being laid off." Comments about the video, later uploaded to social media, described the move as cold, harsh, and horrible. Layoffs and restructuring is never easy, but there are perhaps better ways to announce them, as the BBC's Elizabeth Hudson reports.
Communicating bad news as the deliverer or the recipient is something we've all experienced. And if it's done badly, we'll probably remember it. From bosses announcing restructurings over Zoom, then ending the call with dozens of unanswered questions, to desks being cleared whilst employees are on lunch break. But how does it feel to be the person giving unwelcome news? Joel Peterson was on the board of airline JetBlue when he had to fire the firm's chief executive, David Neeleman.
We said, "We've got to make a change, David, and we wanted to let you know." He was upset. He disagreed with it. He said, "You're making a huge mistake and everybody will leave if you make this change." So we basically spent the rest of the day interviewing direct reports, and they all, except for one, agreed that it was the right thing to do, and they wondered why it had taken us this long, in fact.
So what's the best way to go about laying people off? Heather McGregor is Dean of Heriot Watt Business School in Edinburgh. She also has experience of giving bad news from a previous company she ran.
I got everybody in the room together and I said, there will have to be people who we ask to leave the company. Furthermore, I will now speak to every single person one at a time immediately after this meeting in alphabetical order. I essentially was trying to tell people as much as I could in one go.
So does Joel Peterson think he could have dealt with the situation at JetBlue differently?
This was a surprise to David, and it should never be a surprise to anyone. You should be conducting conversations along the way. There should be feedback, and I think we did a bad job of that.
Experts point out that it's always worth trying to retain your most talented staff, as they're likely to find alternative employment quickly if they let go. But if you do need to fire someone, the remote communication we've become used to during the pandemic doesn't have to be a bad thing, according to Neil Hartman, a professor at the Sloan School of Management at MIT.
I would suggest it would be essential that both the manager and the employee have their cameras on so that you can have the opportunity to see each other and to some degree measure the reactions in terms of the news.
So breaking up can definitely be hard to do, but the pain doesn't have to last forever. I'm the BBC's Elizabeth Hodson for Marketplace.
Finally, is there a business or economic trend story you're keen to hear about? Write us, marketplace@bbc.co.uk, or you can tweet me at Victoria Craig. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.